This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's radio.
Free
radio.
It's now 7:37 and you're listening to Media Mornings here on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM and online at w2media.ca. And I'm David Ball, one of your hosts today, and joining me in the studio.
Good morning, it's Erwin Ostini co-hosting.
And on the phone line with us this morning, we have Andrew McLeod. He's the Legislative Bureau Chief for the TIE.ca. Good morning, Andrew.
Hi, David. Hi, Erwin.
How are you doing today?
I am well. I'm waking up. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Now, it's election day, and we're really excited to have you on with us at Media Mornings because you've been doing some great reporting this last election.
Oh, thank you. It's been a fun one. At the TIE, we always kind of do our own thing to some degree. We engage to some degree, and we try to do our own thing a bit, and hopefully it's of interest and of use to people.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, if people want to check out the TIE's interactive vote map, we're going to be plugging the results in tonight. We've got people at all the campaign offices. I'll be out in Langley with John Cummins, and when he falls asleep, I'll be back in town, roving around. What are you doing tonight, Andrew?
I'll be at the NDP headquarters in Vancouver. Being with John Cummins sounds interesting. When you say he falls asleep, you make it sound like he's going to be falling asleep early.
I won't make any statement to that effect, but hopefully he doesn't fall asleep in his pickup truck. That's the only thing. I've been getting great news flashes from him every day about how many kilometers he's clocked in his Ford and what he had for breakfast. And I think they win the prize for the best press releases this election.
They've got character, you know. Doug Ward on our site was sort of making fun of them a bit for releasing things like that. I actually thought they were kind of charming in their way.
They're folksy. I mean, he declared victory after the televised debate within about 10 minutes.
Oh, they all did.
Chrissy Clark didn't. She said that she shone. She was the only one who didn't say that she won.
No, she did.
There was a
Liberal release saying they won.
Oh.
James Sturk, the Greens held off on it, but
They had the obvious message, but anyways, I'm interested in seeing what happens, and it was a big test case, I think, for the Conservatives to see whether they could actually sway some of the Liberal voters over to perhaps a more federal Conservative side of things.
Yeah, although the BC Conservatives are sort of fringe as the federal Conservatives go, and you saw that in people like Stockwell Day and Chuck Strahl supporting the Liberals and doing so vocally, and they have done for a year or more. Preston Manning as well has been a supporter of them. So this idea that you need to keep the right-wing votes together. For a while there, it looked like the Conservatives would be competitive. You remember they were at 20% in the polls, so maybe a year and a bit ago, and tied with the Liberals. Then we had the by-elections where they came third, and then they had sort of that nasty infighting. And then they had this campaign where, I mean, they lost, what, four or five?
Four candidates. Three were booted out, one resigned before it could be booted out.
Yeah, and it's not like they were even running a full slate. So it was you know, it was a good portion of the candidates that they were running. So they didn't do a whole lot to appear ready for prime time, I would say.
Andrew, what do you think of that riding out by Grand Forks where candidates from all three parties were forced to resign?
Is that Boundaries and Milkomee?
Yeah, that's three candidates, all from different parties. It seems to be the riding that seems to do its own thing.
I guess so. I guess so, yeah, that was Misha Popoff for the Conservatives most recently, right? And he's got a whole bunch of columns that he's written. There were a bunch of, before he even sat down, I was looking at some of them, and they were just sort of odd, you know? And then there was John Slater, who had been the MLA, and I forget the name of the NDP candidate. It'll come to me in a minute. And they stepped down the same day, right? Like, Slater was sort of forced out because the Liberals weren't going to nominate him to run again. And then there was allegations or suggestions that there'd been something funny between Slater and the NDP candidate. Within an hour or something of each other, they stepped down.
That's incredible. Now, one of the things that you've really been pushing, one of the few reporters to really to push on this file over a long period of time, is the health workers and some of the stuff going on at the health ministry. Could you talk a bit about what you've reported and what kind of impact that's had?
Well, it's hard to tell, you know, just impact-wise, what anything's had without going out there and sort of polling people on it. But it's a story that goes back to, well, I mean, I guess it became public last September, and at that point there'd been sort of a few months of investigation within the health ministry to do with data sharing and contracting out and conflicts of interest. This is what the health minister said, Margaret McDermott. She, I think it was like a day after she became health minister, she announced that there'd been this investigation. Something big had gone wrong. At that point, they laid off four people or terminated four people and suspended three others. Those three others have since been fired. All kinds of research contracts were stopped. People who are doing all kinds of research on drug safety can't get access to data anymore. What they had to say about what had gone wrong never got particularly deeper. They did a second press conference in January where they talked about some specific data that went out in ways that it shouldn't, but no personal information went out, and it was all sort of hard to tell how serious it was. None of it sounded particularly like the kind of thing you would fire seven people over. And so the government hasn't really managed to explain what it's doing. Meanwhile, I think we're up to five lawsuits that people have filed, and they include all kinds of allegations that essentially that the government has defamed them by firing them and by doing it in such a public way. That they all say that they haven't really been told why they were fired. The most recent one was from a guy named Bill Warburton. I think I wrote about this maybe, I don't know, a week or so ago.
This is the one who alleged in his documents that he had been fired to preserve pharmaceutical companies' donations, or there were donors to the Liberal Party. Of course, yeah, those haven't been proven in court, but pretty shocking allegations.
Yeah, now people had been saying that sort of thing. I mean, you know, one of my early pieces on this whole fiasco was that it, you know, happened to have the side effect of helping out companies who make big profits and donate to the Liberals and who depend on the decisions that are made by the health ministry on what drugs get covered and which ones don't. So Bill Warburton, when he filed his case, he essentially put those all, you know, put it in even stronger words. You know, just these are companies that donate to the Liberal Party. He didn't use the word witch hunt, but essentially that's what he was saying. You know, they were going after everyone who does evidence-based research on drugs and trying to shut that down. Essentially, the government helping out its friends. And as you said, hasn't been proven in court, but that was his take on it. He since he's filed his case, he gets to have his say on it. The government, I don't believe, has filed a response yet. They have, I think, 3 weeks from when he filed his to do that. And last I checked, it wasn't in.
We just have a minute left here, Andrew, but maybe you could just talk a bit about what you think the highlights and lowlights have been of this campaign, and where you'll be watching the race tonight. As I said, you're going to be at the NDP campaign, but what are you going to be watching for?
My sense of election night is people want to know who won. They want to know who won in their riding, and I'm not sure how much they want beyond that. You know, I'm sure, assuming everyone goes out and votes and it turns out to be the way the polls have been saying it will be and the NDP wins, you know, Adrian Dix will get up tonight and say, you know, people voted for a change and they like the kind of change that the NDP was offering and it's a change for the better, and I'll do my best, et cetera, to deliver on what we promised. So my sense of, you know, the election day story aside from the results is not that interesting. I mean, you know, yes, people care, but once it's over.
Yeah, barring any irregularities, it's pretty much the news week is kind of settled into post-election, you know, post-mortems, basically.
Yeah, and then there'll be a bunch of footnote stories. What happens to Christy Clark? Did the Greens break through? Did any of the independents win? Did any conservatives win?
Can positive or negative campaigning work or not anymore? It's a lot of generalizations happen often with a fairly speculative basis.
Yes, exactly. The positive campaigning one's an interesting one. I'm sure people will draw conclusions. But I think if you see voter turnout go up from last time, I think that might be an indication that a positive campaign helps. But But again, hey, there you go. Speculation. The election isn't even over yet, and I'll speculate.
Yeah, but that's what we do. We speculate, Andrew. And that's, you know, we back it up with facts, and we
at best,
we dig away
best,
to fill content. Yes. Often filling space, as we do. Anyways, I want to thank you so much for your writing and for your time this morning. It's great to have you on here, Media Mornings.
Oh, thanks. Anytime.
And maybe see you tonight.
Thanks for your writing, too, by the way, David. I always enjoy your stuff in the TIE as well.
Thank you very much. That was Andrew McLeod, Legislative Bureau Chief with the TIE.ca. You can check out his work on there, as well as their interactive vote map as the election results come in today.
Every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m., Media Mornings brings you independent news and culture you won't hear anywhere else.
Daily headlines, interviews, countless local voices, and our Latin America report help you make sense of today's news from Coast Salish territories to global affairs.
Yes, include David Suzuki.
Media become hostages of the corporate agenda, and thank God for the independent like you.
Indigenous activists like Pam Palmater.
This kind of radio show helps inform Indigenous and non-Indigenous people and hopefully inspire our Indigenous citizens to take action.
Social justice advocates like Maud Barlow.
We continue to be America's gas tank, although now we want to be the gas tank for the world.
Artists like Kenny Starr.
Change is created by lots of different types of activists.
Ray Spoon.
Gender is limiting and affecting everyone.
And authors like Michael Parenti.
The state is at the service of these corporations.
So tune in to Media Mornings, weekdays 7 to 8 a.m.
on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM and podcasting at W2Media.ca.